words and translation in English. And Paul began with a couple of poems. And the translation, although it doesn't rhyme, goes along the lines of Dhamma practice. If we are to do the benefit for ourselves, then we'll make our mind up to practice the Dhamma. And the aim of practicing Dhamma is to see, and the thing that we focus on seeing is suffering. And the way we aim to see it is according to the truth. And then seeing it according to the truth, then we aim to abandon it. The second poem is about the truth of our lives, that each of us, having been born, have to age. There's no escape from sickness of the body or unease of the mind. As far as our bodies are concerned, we have doctors and medicine, but where the mind's concerned, then we need to practice Dhamma in order to achieve happiness. So today is the 2nd of March, and that reflects on the passing of time. And the passing of time has relevance on all of us. Because having material bodies, then they're subject to the changing of nature. And also our minds, which is the other aspect of our lives. It doesn't have a form, but we can still appreciate it and experience it. And experience those changing states of mind, both positive and negative. And therefore we experience happiness and suffering as a result. And so, as time is passing away all the time, then each of our bodies also are changing and aging. And that's just the truth of nature, it's the true Dhamma, that all things which arise in this world exist for some time, and they change all the time, and eventually pass away. And by seeing things in this way, then we realize that nothing actually belongs to us, and that each and everything eventually will have to give it up. And so thinking in that way helps us to let go and helps us to put things down. Mostly we put down feelings of liking and disliking, delight and disappointment. Because these kinds of feelings, even if it's happiness, it's just worldly happiness, which is subject to imperfection, and it's not really the truth. So then each of us with our lives in this world, having a human life, it's actually a great resource. It's the greatest natural resource. Benvenutsu tsendi miyoka. And then another poem which talks about the great opportunity of being born as a human. And the great opportunity of being born as a human is that we can develop our wisdom. And so having that opportunity, then we take the truth as our basis, and then we can develop in the best way. Because our human lives are a great potential. But like all things in nature, if that potential is to be realized, then some adaptation needs to be made. As is the case with all natural resources in the world. And so the word bhavana means development. It means mental development, developing our minds, and first of all, just seeing and understanding our minds, seeing and recognizing the positive and negative states of mind. And if we are to understand these, then we need to focus on them and reflect on them. And if we understand them properly, then that will make our lives more convenient. If we look at these things but can't develop understanding, then we don't get the full benefit. So it's important that we have both faith and also wisdom, because faith or satta is a kind of satisfaction and gladness in what we're doing. But wisdom is the important partner of faith, so that we develop ourselves along the right path. And the right path is to follow the footprints of the noble beings, but not their physical footprints, but to aspire to the qualities that they developed. The noble beings are those who achieve safety for themselves by pulling their own hearts out of suffering, by coming to a feeling of cleanness and safety. And that cleanness or purity we can develop in our own lives. And the first place that we start is with our action. Because through good action, we create good results. And through unwholesome action, we create bad results. If we can develop and modify our action and make it good, then that will lead us to contented happiness, which is the hallmark of the noble ones, noble beings that we call the Aryans, the noble ones, the ones attained to Dhamma. When we chant in praise of the noble Sangha, then we say the word Supatipanno, which means the one practiced well, the one well practiced. And if one is to practice well, then one needs to practice with the proper understanding. And that proper understanding is our basis for practice. And so that's why with this occasion, being close to the time of Magha Puja, when the Buddha gave his universal teaching, then he said, Sabba Papasa Akaranam Kusala Supa Sampada Sachitta Pariyodapanam Etang Buddha Sasanam. And that means that abstaining from all wrongdoing and practicing goodness to one's utmost and purifying one's mind is the teaching of all the Buddhas. It's not just beneficial for oneself, but it enables one to live in the community in a way that doesn't do any harm to anyone, and that one can be accepted by everyone. And by developing good qualities, not only do we abstain from harming others, but we have the kindness and compassion that we can create great benefit. At the very least, we see others as our relatives, and in fact see all others as our relatives, because having been born, each of us is subject to aging, sickness and death, and that's just the natural flow of things, the way it's the flow of nature. So understanding that we're all on the same footing, then we realize that all beings desire for happiness and dislike unhappiness. And so it's with that in mind that we aim to practice well. If we see others as our relatives, then all our connections and every connection and attachment, then we'll fulfill that with the greatest kindness. Understanding that it's our fear and shame of wrongdoing, our fear of harming both yourself and others, and that's what protects the world. So then we won't think of doing the wrong thing, but we'll think of doing that which is the right action that leads to peacefulness. But to do that, we need to develop our own hearts in order to have the strength and clarity that leads to peaceful states. And so the Nama Dhamma, or our minds, our heart, is that part of our life that doesn't have a form. It's not so easy to understand at first as our body, which we can see, and each of us have our own physical characteristics that are easy to identify. But what we can't deny is that the mind has great power. And that means it has the potential to create great benefit on one hand, or to create great harm on the other hand. And so we can use similes for this, like electricity. It's something that we don't see and can't see, but it can be very dangerous and can cause a fatal danger. On the other hand, if used properly, it has all kinds of benefits. And so Supatipanno means to practice well in order to bring the heart to its greatest benefit and avoid the danger. And there's just one key to this development, and that's a natural intuition that we all have, that we call sati, or mindfulness. And it's also a name for Buddha, the one who knows. It's something that we have but still need to develop. And it's the Dhamma of great support that will help to take care of our lives. It means when we practice to develop this and to increase this. Because it's just like all natural resources. Any kind of natural resource, even though it might have some potential, if not developed and refined, then it's still of no use to us. Even a simple natural resource like water, if it's not filtered, then it can be dangerous to our health. And so therefore this process of straining and filtering is necessary. And it's the same with our heart. We should examine all of our mental intentions and strain them and filter them, select out those parts that are good, and get rid of the parts which aren't good. That way we'll make a smooth ride for ourselves. The important thing to notice is that the heart needs taken care of all the time. And if we do that, then we avoid the danger. Another simile is a simile of a car. A car should be controlled well, driving down the road, if it's going to get us to its destination and not cause an accident. And then who's going to do the work, who's going to watch out, take care? It can only be the driver of a car. And as far as our own mind is concerned, we can't hand it over to someone else and get someone else to take the wheel. We can only look after it for ourselves. And the only way we can do that is with our own mindfulness. But more than that, the Buddha said we should direct our mindfulness in order to understand the truth. Firstly, to direct our mindfulness towards our body and then towards the mind. Because these are the two ways that we experience our life, is through body and mind. And so the body, what we call our body, is not actually one single thing, but it's made up of many different parts. And those parts, which we call elements, have joined together to make a form. But it's a form which exists according to conditions. Because of that, it has its upwards phase and its downward phase, or phase of declining and deterioration. If we look at nature, we'll see that everything in the natural world is that way. It has its growing up phase, and it has its dying away phase, and that's only natural. If we accept it, then we feel more peaceful and comfortable with that truth of nature. We understand that we don't have rights over things that belong to nature, and that includes our own bodies. And therefore, we release our feelings of stress and tension about that and put down our feelings of ownership of the body. And understand that all these changing conditions belong to nature. It's not actually a being or a person. And that brings us to the attitude of sacrifice and renunciation, willing to admit and willing to investigate that which really belongs to us and that which doesn't really belong to us. It reduces our feeling of conceit, and reducing our feeling of conceit, then we can relate more appropriately to others. We don't feel that we're better or worse than others, and therefore we accept others. But to do this, we need to be someone who's circumspect, doesn't just follow the way that one feels, but that looks and investigates. And so practicing the Dhamma means to look at our lives, look at the body, and look at the mind. Because the body, you can't say that it doesn't exist, or that we don't have a body, but if we look deeply, we'll see that we really can't say that we have rights over the body. Ultimately, those rights belong to nature. And so by doing away with wrong view, then we also do away with unwholesome intentions, which are based on conceit. And we do away with actions that are based on desire. Desire to have, desire to be, it's the cause of our suffering. And it's said that we have suffering because of desire. We have a lot of suffering because we follow the desire. We have less suffering if we stop following desire, and we do away with suffering, if we give up our desire. So just to think about this in a reflective way is wisdom on the level of citta maya panya. And it's a higher level of wisdom than simply hearing things. It's the level of contemplating and thinking about those things for ourselves. If we follow this wholesome line of thinking, it will help to lead us to safety. It will help to make us someone who's reflective about our own lives. And then we'll focus on simply knowing and learning and understanding from our experience in life. And that's what the Buddha did, and he summed it up into four noble truths. That's the truth of suffering and the cause of suffering, which is craving, the ending of suffering, and the path which leads to that peaceful ending of suffering. So the suffering of the body, in essence, is really just belongs to the body and belongs to nature. Without craving for it to be otherwise, then it won't be our suffering. It's just the body trying to tell us that it doesn't really belong to us. And so it's also the same study that was done more than 2,000 years ago with the one who became the Buddha. First of all, saw the Devadutas, or heavenly messengers. He saw an old person, a sick person, a dead person, and then he saw a samana, one who's practicing to realize the truth. These four signs are called Devadutas, which means excellent signs, or excellent messengers, because they're telling us the excellent message that by knowing and understanding suffering, that we can actually become free from suffering. And we understand, we can then give that suffering back to nature, which is to whom the suffering really belongs. Understanding the body, then we reflect on our mind, and understand that the mind that's not yet well developed will always still go back to suffering. Just like a child is always looking for things to play with. In the same way, a grown-up who's not yet a noble being is just like a child, always picking up those feelings of happiness and unhappiness, liking and disliking, and playing with those, getting lost in them, getting lost in the world. Getting lost in the world of sensuality, coming back to the same mistakes over and over again. Therefore, if we can see the danger, then we'll restrain ourselves more carefully, and we won't be heedless, but we'll be mindful and alert when we see things, hear things, smell, taste, touch, and even think things. We'll be aware of these sense doors and be aware of the way we react when we interact with the world, because seeing forms and hearing sounds and so on, it leads to a reaction in the mind, and that's a reaction of either accepting or rejecting what we see or hear, liking or disliking that which we're experiencing through the senses. And so then we're swinging from craving and clinging on one hand, and then going to cringing and rejecting on the other extreme. And because of that, we don't escape from this way of reacting to the world. With mindfulness, we start to see the mind. It's made up of that which is wholesome and also unwholesome. By identifying that which is unwholesome and reflecting on it, then we see that if we act based on unwholesome states of mind, that we'll get a lot of enemies. If we have bad feelings about another person, and then we go and talk badly about that other person, if we go talking badly about other people all the time, then sooner or later they'll come back and talk badly about us, or even worse. And so we understand that the unwholesome states of mind are just like rubbish, and that we shouldn't go close to them, because greed, hatred, and delusion, they're bad things which can only have bad results. Thinking, speaking, and acting based on those states will cause trouble for us. It will cause trouble for society. They're therefore not worthy of wanting, and they're worthy of being left alone. If we know that, then we won't go close to them. We won't make use of them. We won't add to them, but we'll just see them as dangerous and to be avoided, at least to be kept away and not to be brought out into the open. Someone who's developed themselves well has developed their own mind with mindfulness and wisdom. And so that's the most wholesome way of development is to develop one's own mind. Because with mindfulness and wisdom, then one can abandon those states. Even to reduce the states of greed, hatred and delusion significantly is a noble attainment that we call sotapanna. From actually really seeing and understanding the danger in greed, hatred and delusion, and taking away the support for greed, hatred and delusion, then that's already a significant level of peace. So the Buddha said we should abstain from all evil, sambhapapasakaranam, and kusala supa sampada, to make much of what's good, and to do good to one's utmost. Even just being respectful and considerate of others, or showing respect and deference to those worthy of respect, is a very good act in itself, and it's a great offering. It's like giving flowers, candles and incense to one worthy of respect, if we're just respectful and deferent in our attitude. It's a way of practicing appropriately with our bodies and with our speech. It's a way of developing good manners. It's said that the manners of someone, it speaks to who they really are. Someone's accent can tell you where someone comes from, but someone's actions and someone's manners, it tells you how well that person's developed. So if we see the danger in wrong action, then we'll be more interested in developing the right action. But many of us still don't see the danger in wrong action, and many of us are still caught up with activities which are very dangerous in the world. We should look at those activities and see the way they bring harm. For example, the taking of intoxicants, becoming drunk, is something dangerous to our bodies. It's damaging to our bodies and brings danger into our life. We should understand and appreciate that our lives and our bodies are an important gift of nature and a valuable means for us to practice the Dhamma. If we understand and appreciate this, then we'll practice with morality, and that will lead us to concentration and wisdom. Actually, morality, concentration and wisdom are all aspects of the same path, and they're all mixed up together, and we need them all, just the same as when we eat a meal, we eat from all the different food groups and different types of food, and they all mix up in our stomach. Just the same way, we've got morality, concentration and wisdom mixed up in our wholesome practice according to the Noble Eightfold Path. And to talk about samadhi or mental development or concentration, then we should aim for the natural kind, a kind that naturally knows and is aware intuitively of all that we're saying and doing, and aware as we experience what we're experiencing, not giving way to greed, hatred and delusion. If we have wisdom, then we'll see the danger. When we see the danger, this is like a light that makes our lives safe. When we're in the room and we turn the light on, and we can see what we're doing, and we can avoid the dangerous places. So natthi anya sama, there's no light like wisdom, because it's wisdom that shows us everything. Therefore, having this opportunity to come and meet together, and I don't have anything to give except for these words of advice, and this is my way of making an effort to give something, not thinking of my own comfort or convenience, but to think of what I can give. And so I thought of what might be beneficial to give, and the most beneficial thing to give is knowledge, is Dhamma, is advice on how we can each practice in our own lives. At the very least, it's an opportunity to come together and meet together, get to know each other, and give some pointers on how we can and modify our own lives, modify our own conduct and a way of developing ourselves in the world. So I'm only giving words of speech, but those words can be pointers to the value of our life, the way that we can use our lives for advantage. Our lives are such a useful thing. Like the Buddha said, being born as a human is a great gain. And so giving Dhamma as a way of meeting and greeting is a different style to giving material things. And it gives its benefits in a different way. So then for each of us, seeing as we still have our lives and our health and our strength, then let's take those words and practice them and make a difference for ourselves, and it leads us along the way of practicing towards that attainment of Dhamma, which is the greatest attainment for a human. And therefore, I say anumodana, appreciation of everyone's effort in coming here tonight.
We invite everyone to ask questions.
Question there about the practice of vipassana. And a question for asking for a little bit of direction on that. Having learned to do vipassana, bhavana, or insight meditation practice based on mindfulness of breathing, but the person asking the question finds that this still can lead to feeling of being someone watching the breathing, and therefore not leading to feelings of anatta or not self. Lumpur's answer is that vipassana means seeing clearly. And so when we talk about meditation being of two aspects, one is the aspect of samatha or peacefulness, and the other is the aspect of vipassana, which means clarity. And that clarity occurs when mindfulness comes to fulfillment, or when mindfulness is complete. And so that means to the mind what it means when to the body, if the body has immunity. When the body is strong, it has immunity and resistance to illness, then in the same way our mind, when our mindfulness is complete, then it has immunity and resistance to mental affliction. And that means that the practice for mental development or vipassana is to see clearly, and by seeing clearly, then we give up wrong view, and by we're seeing clearly, then we put down that right view. What that leads towards is towards giving up, letting go of attachment to things that belong to nature. And so where we do the letting go is where things already don't belong to us. So when we see where nature is doing its own job of causing things to age, causing things to get sick, and causing things to die, then by recognizing that, then we see that those things don't belong to us. And that's where we let go, and that's what leads to benefit.
There is a quotation by Ajahn Chah with photograph of the Luangpur Rien. And essentially it says that when the mind has gone beyond doubt, then one can live fully naturally in harmony with nature. And one can be at peace even in the situations that are not peaceful. Would the Venerable please share with us how he manages to live in peace under a wide range of conditions, even extreme ones? Because what I find with very extreme situations, best I can do just avoid them or basically leave. So, yes, would you please share with us how he practices?
ส่วนมากเราไปมองไปนอกมาตื่นแต่ หรือมาเกี่ยวข้องกับตัวเองมันก็เลยทำให้วิตกกังวลเรียกว่ามันไม่สงบปกติคนเราก็มีงานกันนะยืนก็เป็นงานนั่งก็เป็นงานเดินก็เป็นงานนอนก็เป็นงานแต่ที่ว่าไม่มีงานก็ไม่ได้ก็มันเป็นส่วนแห่งของความเปลี่ยนแปลงที่ว่ามันมีงานนั้นพอเรามีความรู้สึกให้สมมุติเป็นอย่างนั้นแค่ตาเราก็ยังมีงานให้เห็นเพราะมันมีสิ่งเพื่ออำนวยเช่นมีแสงสว่างก็มีงานก็ต้องรู้ตัวอย่างนี้อริยบทก็ถือเป็นเรื่องธรรมดาแต่ก็ขอให้เราอยู่ในรูปแบบของความรู้สึกของผู้รู้เห็นตามความเป็นจริงว่าคือว่าสิ่งนี้สิ่งนี้ก็แล้วกันปกติโลกก็มีอย่างนี้ตลอดไปสงครามโลกก็ว่าได้ข้อสัตว์โลกโลกก็มีอย่างนี้อะไรๆมาไม่มีมันก็คงจะไม่เกิดความรู้สึกเราก็มองโลกในแง่ว่าเขามองกันยังไงเช่นถ้ามองว่าอัญชลาเป็นผู้นำเข้ามาใกล้ไม่ยั่งยืนมันก็มองออกแต่เห็นว่ามันไม่ยังมีอะไรเราก็คลายอารมณ์เราเกิดความรู้สึกคลายอารมณ์ในรูปแบบว่าเราไม่มีกรรมสิทธิ์ก็ต้องดูอย่างนั้นดูให้มีอารมณ์คลายประสาทละทำเหล่าใดเป็นไปเพื่อคลายความกำหนัดย่อมใจว่าเราจะได้ความรู้อย่างนี้ก็ต้องภาษาเรียกว่าซ้อมให้มันเกิดความชำนาญชัดเจน
In the calendar, we'll pause doing some work, and the quote is about being peaceful in all situations. Normally we're just looking at things on the external. We're not looking deeply enough, and therefore we're making all kinds of assumptions that lead to worry.But if we look more deeply, then our correct understanding then will lead away from worry. So in that picture, it was a picture of doing some kind of work, and actually we're working all the time. At the very least, we're doing the working of sitting, standing, walking or lying down, and we're changing our posture. And all the parts of our bodies are working all the time. Whenever the light is switched on, then our eye does the work of seeing, and our mind does the job of thinking about it. Our responsibility, the kind of work we should be doing, is to learn to see and understand things according to the way they really are. And that means looking in a way that will reduce our worries and lead towards peacefulness, lead away from worries. And the way to do that is to see the world as empty and look from the perspective that the world is empty. If we understand that all of us in the world are just being drawn to our lives, drawn towards aging and death, then we see that the world's empty of anything which belongs to us to begin with. And so understanding that we don't have rights to hold on to things in the world, then that also takes away our worries that we're going to lose anything, because we didn't have anything to begin with. And so then the right practice is a practice that leads towards undoing feelings of tension and feelings of attachment, but by just seeing things clearly as the way they are, understand nature the way that it is, and then by a correct understanding, by relating things to things the way they are, then we won't, then that's the way to be able to relate to all situations.